everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen, Ray Engineering and producing our show. Hope you had a great weekend. It is February the 13th, Monday, and very unusual to have thunder and lightning this time of year, but if everyone's a little bit feeling kind of maybe didn't get a great night's sleep, I think the whole town was shaken awake between midnight and one. Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen with me in studio on the Monday Political Face-Off. Gentlemen, I'm sure you would agree on that, huh, Bruce?
Yeah, it was active, and I was glad. I got all my fertilizer down for most of our gardens over the weekend, so a good start to the spring season.
It's a nice weekend, though.
It was. Yeah, talking about the weather last night, when my dog gets up and gets skittish, you know it's bad
because
she likes her sleep.
Yeah, and I know the cats, our cats were in hiding at last report.
Well, and it was a great weekend. I mean, weather-wise, I went to the Heritage Days festivities at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. That was, you know, they had the F-22
right.
And F-35s and A-10s and F-16s, but they had the old P-38 Lightning and P-47 Thunderbolt and P-51 Mustangs and F-86 Sabre jets. And, oh, my goodness, it was just fabulous watching them, you know, in a diamond formation and doing all kinds of different things. The F-22 goes straight up in the air. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just unbelievable to see that airplane fly.
They were certifying the airplanes and the pilots for air shows all over the country this weekend.
And these guys, I mean, they don't need to get certified here. They do work. They do this kind of stuff all over the country, and boy, they're fabulous pilots. Just are fabulous.
Every Monday, we do begin the Buckmaster Show with our Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash is with us. Mr. Ash, in his fourth term as Republican National Committeeman, those are four-year terms. He's the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. There is another committee person, a committee woman, right?
Yes, there is.
And her name?
Her name is Lori Klein Corbin, mm-hmm. and she's my seatmate as a committee person. And Jonathan Lines was just elected Arizona State GOP chairman. He's from Yuma County, mm-hmm. and he just became our state chair. So we'll be going to our first meeting the middle of May in Coronado, California, at the Del Coronado Hotel.
Oh, that's too bad. Don Jorgensen is with us. Dr. Jorgensen, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. I was over visiting with Moe on Saturday. They're doing very well over there, and they've got some great orders coming in. And Bruce Ash, you were sharing with me before we went on that you'll be seeing Moe very soon after you get all your stuff together.
Yeah, I have a collection of things from the 16 election, the convention, and the election later on, mm-hmm. so I'm anxious to get that up. I just did a display in my office with a placard from the convention, you know, the things that says Arizona on it, on a stand, and so I'm very excited about getting the rest up there.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Don Jorgensen, let's begin with you. Congresswoman McSally, the Republican in her second term, second district, congressional district, will be holding another telephone town hall tomorrow. This will be the second one in the same number of weeks. Of course, many Democrats, and probably a fair bit of independents as well, are really calling on the Congresswoman to hold an open forum. Don Jorgensen, is having these open forums part of being an elected official, in your opinion?
Oh, without question. That's why it's so. And McSally actually held some of those in the beginning of her first term. That's why it's so disappointing now to see her employ this kind of duck and cover strategy in avoiding the public, the people she represents. McSally does not just represent the right wing or the Republican Party. She represents all citizens of CD2. And there's incredible disappointment that she's unwilling to face the public and answer the serious questions. Now, yes, this is a second televised town hall. I actually got a call inviting me to her town hall about 10 minutes after it started last week. And those are very controlled events. It's not really
the
public.
Telephonic town hall.
Yes.
Halls,
yeah. You know, it says she spoke with 3,400. Well, no, she spoke to 3,400 with very carefully selected questions and responses. Her claim that she's held numerous other town halls is not really accurate either when you look at the fact that most of these are held in private corporations. The attendance is restricted. And, of course, if you're going to an event like that in your workplace, you're not going to be as open or comfortable asking questions as you will elsewhere. But to claim that you're holding public town halls at Raytheon is a bit disingenuous. I think there will be a backlash that continues unless she is willing to face the public. Now, we also know her argument has been that, well, these are people that are just trying to set her up and ask and
political
ask leading
ambush,
questions.
I believe, are the words.
Yeah, well, you know, when the Tea Party type folks came to Gabby Gifford's rally, she didn't duck from them. She took those tough questions, and so did Ron Barber. And you have to be willing to do that if you want to represent the community. And she needs to step up and do that.
What do you think, Bruce? Is this hurting her?
No. And I think actually what is happening right now across the country with these groups who come to town halls, not just with Republicans, and shout them down and create these smackdown situations, they're doing it to Democrats as well, who they don't believe are part of the resistance. A resistance group is when a foreign country or foreign power has taken over a country by armed or by some sort of political subversion. That's not what occurred here. I need to remind our friends who didn't vote for Donald Trump and may not have voted for Martha McSally that there were lots of people who did vote for those people. Elections, as Barack Obama has said so famously, have consequences. And the consequences are is that the doings of the last 8 years are coming apart. They're coming apart because the people of this country spoke. Number of states, the people who voted in this election spoke with a very clear, loud voice. And what's occurred almost from a couple of days after the election, when electors such as myself were harassed, were provided with death threats, to the inauguration where there were rioters in the streets attacking people and doing destruction to buildings and to personal property and to individuals. This is not the kind of political speaking that we should be having in this country. There ought to be a calm way to talk back and forth. And I don't take any issue at all with Ms. McSally going to this type of a format. Like Don, I hope that she will go to a more public kind of a setting very shortly. And hopefully some of the people who have been creating great disruption in these types of town halls across the country will come to their senses and will be able to have that kind of a meaningful, reasoned discussion.
Well, I'm glad we agree that she needs to come out and face her constituents, mm-hmm. because that's exactly right. So far, she has refused, even though a number of these groups have even volunteered to sponsor and pay for public settings, even provide security, although I doubt that's needed, in the majority of these events around the country. There has been loud commentary, loud discussion, forceful, but nonviolent.
Last week in Utah, and there was one in Tennessee that got a little bit out of hand.
Right, yeah. As has happened, and folks that do that ought to be dealt with appropriately if they're breaking the law.
I think the question, Don, is this majority, isn't. Would you agree this is galvanizing Democrats
more and more? And I do believe it's going to hurt McSally because, you know, this is someone who has run on being independent, being strong, and representing the country, and for her to run from the constituents, or as I said, duck and cover, isn't someone who you can trust to take tough stances. And if, as to echo what Bruce is saying, yes, Trump won. And McSally, to this point, has voted 100% along with Trump's positions when those bills will come up in the House. Well, if that's what she believes, she needs to stand behind that and come publicly and defend her positions and answer the questions, legitimate questions that citizens have about Obamacare, about immigration, about all these issues. You know, we saw Gabby Giffords, we saw Ron Barber be willing to stand up and take those tough questions. It's time for McSally to do the same.
Well, I think Martha McSally has expressed her independence from the what was then candidate Donald Trump to president-elect Donald Trump and also as President Donald Trump. There have been so few bills that have actually been heard and voted upon so far in the House in their final form that I hardly think that you could categorize Martha McSally as a clone who's always going to vote for Donald Trump. I think the fact of the matter is that Martha has demonstrated time and time again she's willing to stand up and she's willing to stand up for what she thinks and what she thinks the majority of the constituents in her district believe is important. And that's the Martha that we know. That's the Martha we voted for in this past election. And there really is no duck and cover operation going on, although Don and the Democrats would like to categorize it as such. These kinds of demonstrations, because that's what they are, aren't really what town halls were intended to be. They are intended to be honest exchanges, and it's not just a town hall in Utah and maybe one in Tennessee. There have been numerous of these types of disruptions in town halls already across the country, both on the Democrat side and on the Republican side. This is a group who is equally as angry with the Democrats because they lost the election.
Well, it's to this date, they still pale in comparison to what we saw from the Tea Party in 2010. But even with that, these are folks who want to express their First Amendment right, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, talking to their representative. And everything you say sounds nice, but actions speak louder than words. And so far, McSally has refused to come in front of the public. And so far, even though it's been a few number of votes, she has voted 100% in lockstep with Donald Trump.
All right, we're going to take our break right here at 12:16. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Bruce Ash to the right of me, Don Jorgensen seated to the left. We'll be back right after this.
At the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we've been caring for homeless pets for over 72 years. But as we've grown, our campus hasn't, and our pets and staff are crowded in run-down, dilapidated buildings. The need for a new campus is critical. The homeless pets in our care need healthier, stress-free space, and we need room to expand the important work of adoption and education. Please help us build our own forever home. Visit hssaz.org and donate today, because we're all in this together.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday at noon, where have we come from and where are we going on Arizona Statehood Day 2017? We'll talk with UA Regents Professor Dr. Thomas Sheraton, author of Arizona, A History. Buckmaster on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, with worldwide live listening, podcasts, and our archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. If you would like to join in the conversation, 790-2040 on our Buckmaster Show live line. Bruce Ash is here and Dr. Don Jorgensen. The Buckmaster Show Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Check it out for all of your framing needs. Moe can take care of you. Don, I think you talked about energizing Democrats. You get the feeling across the country that Democrats are now really, I don't know if getting over the election is the right word, but they're starting to focus on the midterms, which are next year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that a sense you're kidding?
There is. You've got two factors working. One is all the energy right now that's come since the election with the marches and the different rallies and such. And it's a very encouraging, positive sign that all of these different groups, and it's not just Democrats, it's independent groups, progressive groups, issue-related groups, are seeing the devastating impact that they believe and we believe that this election will have on the country. So there's a lot of energy there. Right now, all that energy is going into rallies. It's going into marches. And all that's wonderful for getting the attention, getting people mobilized. But it has to then develop into a focus, because energy without focus is nothing. And folks are starting to realize that, yes, it has to focus on impacting the midterm elections next year. The challenge there is that the Democratic Party has a role, but not the only role. And that's the reality. You have a lot of these groups who don't necessarily want to join any party, whether it's Republican or Democrat. That's why there are so many independents. But they will get involved with the movement, whether it's issues or their values. And that's where the challenge is in linking those groups together and having some focused attention on promoting a particular candidate. You know, we talked about Martha McSally. Well, mm-hmm. We'll see who emerges to oppose Congresswoman McSally, and there needs to be galvanizing around that candidate, or whether it's a governor next year, or the Senate race. That's what has to happen. If it's just continual talk and focus and marching, that's wonderful, but it doesn't translate into real change. And so I see the Democratic Party is aware of that. They're still aware that there needs to be some transformation within the party and really become the new Democratic Party, because as Bruce said and as you said, the election's over. This mm-hmm. is 2017, and mm-hmm. the challenges and the dangers and the threats to the U.S., to the economy, are different.
And those dangers, are those dangers something that are being, are they a figment of the opposition's imagination, Bruce Ash? Is this a very dangerous time for America because of Donald Trump?
It's dangerous if you're a leftist, because you're going to see the actions of the last administration, being changed by this president and by Congress. Look, when you look at the situation that exists within the Democratic Party, it sort of looks like this. Democrats have not encouraged a whole bunch of Democratic elections, primary elections. There's not a lot of room in the Democratic Party for different views to be heard. The views that are heard are all on the left, and they are to the left or to the left or the leftist of the political spectrum. There are 33 states around the country who have Republican control of one or more or all of the legislature, legislative houses, and gubernatorial seats. There's not a lot of leadership as a result of the actions the Democratic Party has played in developing new leaders over the past 8 to 10 years. The last president really hollowed out the Democratic Party. I understand what they're going through. We were in that same, desert for several years. We were lost. We couldn't find our way either. I would empathize with Don because I'm sure that the Democrats felt that they would have a permanent majority for a long time. The Republicans have made that mistake in the past, and we must avoid doing that. There has to be an end in sight for Republicans and Democrats to get along better. I've talked about for a long time, and this may appear to sound off topic, the things that we've done right here in this state and others with term limits, with the way that our redistricting is handled, the way that campaign finance laws have been set up. These are things that keep majorities in power. These are things that I think have created less Democratic elections in our state, notwithstanding the good intentions of those people who promoted those things. There has to be a good two-party system in this country, in this state, and frankly, there isn't, because either you have very, very Democratic states, and there's a small minority of them, or you have a lot of Republican-controlled states, and there's going to be a lot of discontent in both of those states because there's not a lot of working together.
Well, as much as I enjoy listening to Bruce's dissection of the Democratic Party, there are actually a number of things we agree on, and some of the last comments are true.
But
certainly the Republicans—
Term limits.
About term limits, and the Republicans were much better than the Democrats at playing the redistricting game state to state, and that's part of the reason they have the majority of governorships. No question about that. The issue of leadership, there are many young leaders emerging, and I think you're going to see more and more of that. You're starting to see it in the Senate and the House.
Name three in Arizona.
Because the old guard, the Clinton guard, is gone, and that's good. In Arizona, it's taking some time, but we're seeing it with the mayor of Phoenix. We're seeing it with folks that have been in the state Senate. And it's time for new folks to emerge. We have Randy Fries, who's the minority leader, system minority leader in the House. Great example. Of that happening. But, when you look at the national level, you can say the same about the Republicans that we said about the Democrats. Supposedly they had this strong bench. They had all these wonderful, strong candidates come into the primary. And who won? The outsider, the disruptor, who had no role in the party up to that point. So that kind of soul searching is happening and needs to happen on both sides.
All right. Robin has called us on 790-2040. Robin, how are you today?
Good. Like your guest today, I have a question for Don.
Okay, go ahead.
Shoot.
Have you ever served your country in combat?
I have not. I'm proud to say that both my father and my son served our nation. My son actually passed away while on active duty, not in combat, but the military from Navy, Coast Guard, and Army play are very close to my family and my heart.
Well, it seems strange to me that Martha McSally, who has served her country in combat, you think she'd be scared to meet with people. I think she's scared just by the setups she's seen from the left-wingers that come into meetings like this and rant and rave. They're not polite. They shout people down, just as Bruce said. And last question for you, Don. You mentioned devastating impact of Mr. Trump. Name three devastating things that he has done that's devastated America.
Okay. Well, let's start with his immigration ban, which was proved to be unconstitutional, and his reaction to that was not to improve it, to propose a legal action. Whether I disagree with it, he has the right to do that. Instead, he attacked the judiciary. You know, that is not what we're looking for in a president, and is destabilizing the government of the United States. In terms of his conflicts of interest, we're looking at the cabinet appointees he's made that were either unqualified, just in terms of the ability to do the job, or have such serious conflicts of interest and ethics violations. I think that the devastation is yet to come. And that's just two.
Well, this cabinet will all be selected, ratified by the U.S. Senate. There's no question about that. This is one of the greatest teams that's ever been put together. Republicans, conservatives across this country have almost without exception applauded this election of these members of the cabinet.
That doesn't explain why you needed the vice president to break a vote.
Because of the obstructionist and anti-administration resistance role that Chuck Schumer has started to play
you
in the U.S.
Senate.
You
had two Republicans vote against me as well.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much.
We actually have diversity in the Republican Party. We're allowed to do that.
Bruce Ash, Don Jorgensen, thank you very much. Moe's, almost said Moe's political face-off. Well, almost. The Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgowrie.com and on Facebook. Thank you, Moe, for your support. And thanks, Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen. Thanks a lot, gentlemen.
You bet.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back with our monthly consumer scam alert. Suzanne Miller will be here right after this. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Monday afternoon, and once a month I look forward to speaking with Suzanne Miller. Suzanne is the very personable and knowledgeable communications manager at the Better Business Bureau of Tucson in Southern Arizona. We are just so delighted to have this partnership with the Buckmaster Show, because we can put out some really good information that might save our listeners a real hassle. And it is our monthly scam alert. Suzanne, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. And many folks very excited about your open house, your new quarters downtown. I was just speaking with Christopher here at the station. He says it's a beautiful facility.
We love being there. It is a great location. We've actually doubled, if not tripled, the walk-ins that we've had into our office. And it's just a beautiful space for us to do our work.
And you're going to show it off. There's an open house coming up. I believe it's a week from Valentine's Day. Is that correct?
Yes. It's Tuesday the 21st, and it's going to run from 4 to 7. KVOI is going to be there with a live broadcast,
live
which
remote.
We're really excited about. And we're just going to have a great time just kind of showing off the new space and allowing for a lot of great networking to happen. We're going to have a lot of government officials, but we're also going to have community partners, our accredited businesses, and the general public is all welcome. It's a free event with food and drink and, good time.
And register if you can at tucson.bbb.org on the website. But if you don't get a chance to do that, just certainly come by and check it out.
Absolutely.
This scam that we're going to talk about next seems to be the talk of the town. And I guess for want of a better phrase for this one, Suzanne, we're going to call this "Can You Hear Me" scam.
That's pretty appropriate.
What's it all about?
Well, the "Can you hear me" is the question criminals want you to answer yes to. It's a robocall phone scam circulating across the nation. We received over 1,500 reports via our scam tracker, and we are receiving a high volume of calls about it as well. And the numbers just continue to increase.
So what are they trying to do here? They're trying to get you to say yes, correct?
Right. And while it is, you know, clear that it's a widespread tactic, we still are uncertain how this plays out in the long game.
Mm-hmm.
We know from experience with similar directory scams aimed at businesses that the recording can later be doctored to make it seem as if you've agreed to a purchase and by playing back your voice as proof of agreement. So the robocallers are spoofing local numbers or engaging telemarketing firms locally to call. So watch out for the local numbers. And they are just asking the question, can you hear me? But when targets don't answer, they move forward with noting additional questions and saying, oh, this call is about a free vacation or a trip to Disneyland, maybe the purchase of a timeshare. Really what they're just trying to get you to do is say yes.
Like, would you like a free vacation? And then most people might answer in the affirmative. Yes.
Exactly.
So they got you.
Right.
Once they hear that word, yes, they are very happy. And then they don't care what you say.
Right. So we really just want to warn consumers about the scam and recommend that they just hang up to avoid potential fraud, even though we don't have evidence of how they're going to be using this information.
Just better be safe than sorry.
Correct.
This other one kind of scares, well, the all of them always scare me, but the tax scam is really, this is so widespread.
It is, and we're actually going to be doing a segment on this as well, but the fraudulent filing is where somebody gets a piece of your information, typically your social security number, and then file under your social security number when you go to submit your return. It's already been filed under that number, and of course it wasn't you.
Mm-hmm.
So the recommendation is that you file early before a fraudster has a chance to file under your number.
How does that work? What would typically the fake IRS robocall be like?
I would say they say something similar to, this call is an official final notice from the IRS. The nature and purpose of this call is to inform you that we have received official legal petition notice of a tax fraud against you. So before this matter goes to the federal claims courthouse, or before you get arrested, I love the arrested part, please call immediately on our department number. And, you know, so there's that call to urgency, and that always plays on people. Because who wants to mess with the IRS, right? But this is a complete scam.
Don't tell me. They want some kind of payment.
Of course. Absolutely. So when you give in and you give them a call, they really want to get access to your checking account and money. And the BBB says the IRS will only contact you by mail. So I repeat, the IRS will only contact you by mail. And they're certainly not going to send somebody same day from the police department to arrest you and jail you.
Are the scammers that are in the IRS neighborhood are trying to pretend like they're part of the IRS also using email, Suzanne?
Yes, and they're using letters. In fact, our CEO today brought in a letter that her own mother found that has a letter saying that we are going to come and, you know, arrest you. But it has, you know, information from a different country, and you could tell that the wording was a little off. You know, everybody is vulnerable to this, and they're going to get you any means, you know, necessary. And so, you know, sometimes you won't respond to the call, so they'll start mailing you information and emailing you information. And there's not just one person out there doing it. All the scammers are doing this as a ploy in different mediums. So,
and typically the IRS would not call you.
Right.
I mean, they do some kind of a certified letter or something that, and
yeah,
with a number that, and you can double check to make sure it's really from the IRS.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you really do question it, don't call back the number that's on the letter, but
exactly,
go ahead and call directly to the IRS.
Yes, don't. You're right. Don't call the number that might be on the letter,
right,
but
call
the IRS.
Right, because of course they're
going to
say yes.
Yeah, they would say yes.
It's not the IRS.
Yes.
So, but basically, you know, do not respond to any emails like that or letters. It's the call, you know, just hang up on them. Do not engage.
You know, we see these, and tax preparers, of course, they're out there, and most of them are legit, but some are not.
Right, right. And we really, you know, if they give you a promise that you're going to get a larger refund than the competitors, here's your sign. I mean, that's a big red flag that, you know,
we can do better for you than
anybody
else.
It's just, these are numbers.
They're numbers. You're your tax return. It is what it is.
It is what it is. That's a great way
to play around with the numbers and say, well, I can get you more. Sure.
Right. You want to work with people that you can trust. And again, you can go to the BBB directory and, you know, start with directories, with that directory, because, you know, we have accredited businesses and tax preparers that have been vetted and they have ratings on there and reviews. And don't guess at that game. That's too important.
That is the best place to start for really all of your consumer needs, the tucson.bbb.org. And that is also the place, Suzanne, for check out, register for the open house.
Yes, it's, you know, we really want all of our community to come and just stop by for a little bit, say hi, introduce yourselves. And this is going to be a huge networking event because we're going to have everyone there from all facts of life. And it's going to be fun. We're going to have a great time.
Suzanne Miller, always a pleasure. And again, we want to send people to the website, and it is tucson.bbb.org. Suzanne Miller, always a pleasure. Thank you,
Bill.
Thanks a lot. 12:45 now on The Buckmaster Show. Up next, Dr. Mark Sykes. He's the CEO of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. He's on our live line from Washington, D.C. We're going to talk about space and the Trump administration right after this.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of Five Star Termite and Pest Control. You know, I've got five kids and four of them are daughters.
Daddy, Daddy, there's a spider in my room.
Oh boy, did I get smart. I took care of the spider, but the smartest thing I ever did was call Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Guess what? No more bugs in a Lehman household. They do a great job. They're economical and environmentally friendly.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
At the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we've been caring for homeless pets for over 72 years. But as we've grown, our campus hasn't, and our pets and staff are crowded in run-down, dilapidated buildings. The need for a new campus is critical. The homeless pets in our care need healthier, stress-free space, and we need room to expand the important work of adoption and education. Please help us build our own forever home. Visit hssaz.org and donate today, because we're all in this together.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is a beautiful day over in Silver City. They're getting snow. A couple of pictures I saw on Facebook. Very beautiful. Winter Wonderland, just 3 hours east of Tucson, to one of our fine sponsors, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. And there's so much to do. Historic downtown Silver City, some great activities in the Gila National Wilderness, scenic drives, great birding, hiking trails, and on a day like today, just kind of getting cozy in the snow. The full listing of the many places to stay and many things to do at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's go now on the live line with Dr. Mark Sykes, the CEO and director of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, which will be celebrating its anniversary, the 45th anniversary as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes, of course, very involved in all facets of other worlds, outer limits. No, and he is on the live line on the outer limits in the nation's capital in D.C. How are things back there?
Well, it's nice and sunny.
Oh, you know, I was going to say,
like Tucson.
No snow. There's no warm, no snow on the ground in D.C. Not really.
I seem to have dodged the snow.
There you go.
Yeah, there's a lot of activity back here, of course, with the new administration coming in and people trying to decide where NASA should go, what it should be doing, particularly human exploration in the next several years. And there's a lot of push to, say, return to the moon, but we've been down that road since about 1989 with George H.W. Bush and his exploration initiative, which didn't happen because every time, and then his son that had the vision for exploration where we're going to go back to the moon and on to Mars. And the problem is that you run into this cost problem. And when you just say, let's go and you know, spend whatever. Well, the whatever then turns out to be impractical.
So who in the Trump administration will be deciding the direction of the nation's space program? Would that be the head of NASA or what?
Well, that's an interesting question. Right now, there's a beachhead team. It was the transition team. Now it's the beachhead, and they're getting inundated from everybody pushing their favorite agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And I met with one of them last in D.C. just a couple weeks ago. and they were interested in ideas that would provide a long-term legacy. And so I provided some input to that. My approach is a little different than others because it's not, it's more infrastructure building so that we can do more in the future rather than just let's get a big rocket go someplace. and there's more conversations going on. So I'm assuming that that there'll be whether it's the new administrator, whoever that is, that hasn't been identified, the vice president He's going to be there reforming the National Space Council. I think that was last in existence under Dan Quayle, perhaps.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you know, the beachhead team will probably put together options, and then it'll be decided further up the food chain.
You know, I keep hearing that the new administration, of course, the emphasis had been the trips to the asteroid. Now some are saying they look iffy.
Well, it all depends. under George W. Bush, with the vision for exploration, he wanted to go back to the moon. And actually, back in 2006, PSI and Raytheon Missile Systems teamed together and put together an architecture for that. And to go to the moon, we said that you also had to look at asteroids, near-Earth asteroids, because, you know, if you have to launch every ounce of fuel you need off the surface of the Earth at $20,000 a pound, you know, all the fuel you need to get not just off the Earth, but down to the moon, then down to the surface of the moon, and then back to the Earth. that's an awful lot of stuff. And so we were saying, well, ideally, you launch everything dry, or you launch the stuff that low Earth orbit dry, and if you can somehow get fuel to take it to the moon and down to the surface, then perhaps generate the fuel on the surface of the moon to get off the moon to come back. So you build up the transportation infrastructure so that you're trying to minimize your cost for the whole trip, you know, by setting up kind of fuel stations. If you can do the cost study and demonstrate that, one, it will work, and two, it will save you money, you know, then that's the path to at least investigate. And
I was going to say that so much drove the original moon missions by the security concerns, the space race with the Soviet Union. Well, now, China.
Yeah, so that we're better than godless communism.
Well, now we got China talking about the moon. So that might get the Trump administration looking at that.
But it's kind of tough to run a race.
Yeah.
When you're looking behind you all the time to see where your competitors are, and where they turn is where you turn, and so who's guiding the race? You or them?
Mm-hmm.
So I was asked by some people, well, what should our reaction be, or what should we do if China lands on the moon?
Yeah.
And my response is that, well, we take one of our teleoperator robots and bring over a hot dish and welcome them to the neighborhood. But where our neighborhood is bigger than just the moon.
Yeah.
And so it's a, you know, you know, we need to be thinking about what our goals are, where we want to be, you know, in the distant future, and take the steps in that direction to achieve that. Not to sit around worrying about just being marginally better than what anybody else wants to do.
Of course, billions of dollars have been spent on Mars. So now, where does that fit in with this new administration?
Well, you know, everybody likes to say Mars is the ultimate destination because that means that we don't have to think about it right now. But
well, think about it in 10 years. What do you say?
Well, Mars is a trillion-dollar proposition. Yeah. To send people to Mars, is at least hundreds of billions of dollars. So at least the way we do things currently. Now, again, if we were able to use things like near-Earth asteroids to build up a self-sustainable space transportation system, maybe we could substantially reduce the costs.
Mm-hmm.
Elon Musk wants to send 1 million people to Mars. And I don't know what state he lives, but I think there are certain things that are legal there. But no, it's a good, inspiring thought. And he's thinking through, okay, what do we need to do? We need to have reusable spacecraft. We need to be able to do fueling in space, or we need to recover resources from other. He's thinking through the problem, and that's what we need to do, is that if we decide that we want to ultimately, you know, not now, not 10 years from now, you know, maybe 11 years from now. Mm-hmm. But if we ultimately want to do something like sell Mars, then and say, yeah, that's something that we want to do. We want to put our permanent mark and set up a population beyond the Earth out there. Well, what questions do we need to answer? You know, things like, do we work? Does our life work in less than one gravity? You know, there's some research that says no.
Yeah.
And so we need to do the homework. We need to put the centrifuge on the space station and run rats at different gravities and see, you know, give them, like I said, give them alcohol and party favors for a few years.
Well, I'm
and see, do they develop normally?
And I'm running out of time. So. All right. Mark Sykes, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Bill.
Mark Sykes with us, the CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute back in D.C., speaking with us. Green Things, one of our fine sponsors. Check it out. Whoa, it was a great weekend over at Green Things. 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Man, they were very busy. I don't blame them. Everybody wanted to do some gardening over the weekend. GreenThingsAZ.com for all your gardening needs. For all of your needs between 4 and 5, if news breaks, Mike Shaw will fix it along with Ray Allen on Mic Check. Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 9 and Talking Culture 9 to 10. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you on Valentine's Day, which is, of course, Statehood Day in Arizona. That's tomorrow. Have a great afternoon and evening.